Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayana Namaskritya. Naram Chavanarotamam. Devim Sarthatim Vyasam. Titu Jayamudirayat. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 30, Text 5. Suparna Skandam Arudo Meru Sringam Ivambuddha Pita Vasa Mani Griva Kurvan Vitimira Dishaha Suparna Skandama Rudo Meru Sringam Ivam Buddha Pitava Samani Griva Kurvan Viti Miradishaha Suparna Skandamarudo Meru Sringam Ivam Buddha Pitava Samani Griva Kurvan Viti Miradishaha Suparna Skandamarudo Meru Sringam Ivam Buddha Pitavasa Managriva Kurvan Viti Miradishaha Suparna of Garuda. The carrier of Lord Vishnu. Skandam, shoulder. Aruda, sitting on. Meru, of the mountain named Meru. Sringam, on the summit. Eva, like. Ambuda, a cloud. Pitavasa, wearing yellow garments. Manigriva, his neck decorated with the Kastuba jewel. Kurvan, making. Vitimira, free from darkness. Disha, all directions. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The personality of Godhead appearing on the shoulder of Garuda seemed like a cloud resting on the summit of the mountain known as Meru. The transcendental body of the personality of Godhead was covered by attractive yellow garments, and his neck was decorated with a kastuba known, with the jewel known as Kastuba Mani. The bodily effulgence of a Lord dissipated all the darkness of the universe. Purport. As stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 22:31, Krishna Surya Sam, Mahan Andhakar. Yahan Krishna, Tahan Nahi, Mai Adhikar. The Lord is just like the effulgent sun. Consequently, whenever the Supreme Personality of Godhead is present, there cannot be darkness or ignorance. Actually, this dark universe is illuminated by the sun. but the sun and moon simply reflect the bodily effulgence of the Supreme Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita 7:8, the Lord says, Prabhasmishashi Suryo, I am the illuminating energy of both the sun and the moon. The conclusion is that the origin of all life is the bodily effulgence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is also confirmed in the Brahma Samhita, Yasya Prabha Pravato Jagat Anantikoti. Being illuminated by the bodily effulgence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, everything is freed from all darkness. Translation once again. The Personality of Godhead, appearing on the shoulder of Garuda, seemed like a cloud resting on the summit of the mountain known as Meru. The transcendental body of the Personality of Godhead was covered by an attractive yellow garments, and his neck was decorated with a jewel known as Kastuba Mani. The bodily effulgence of the Lord dissipated all the darkness of the universe. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Malitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapatantikam Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripasandhu Bihavacha Putitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhi Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Kam karoti vachalam pangum langai te gerikim de kripatamaham vande Shri Gurudin Taranam Shri Parabandha Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Yashwaram I was thinking of either direction to take this verse, whether to describe the effulgence of the Supreme Lord and the beautiful body of the Lord and the devotees in connection with that particular meditation and lila, or to describe with this verse Krishna Surya Sammanhan Andakar, where actually Krishna, the presence of the Supreme Lord, there cannot be any darkness. So in this way, I was thinking to discuss the principles of devotional service. Because Krishna Surya Sam, that enlightenment by the process of devotional service is where we can actually perceive the form of the Lord, name, form, pastimes, and activities. There's many different examples in the Bhagavatam which illustrate this point. And throughout the Vedas, there are two features of the different energies described. There's the Mahamaya energy, which will pertain to most of us in terms of dealing with the garden variety personalities, dealing with the school of hard knocks, dealing with the misuse of one's minute independence, and in this way, requiring some correction. Now, in the examples of the great devotees of the Lord, the pure devotees, there's a different energy, which is Yogamaya, where these devotees may come into similar difficulties that we may apparently experience in our plane, meaning we may have some illusion, we may have some misunderstanding, and in this way, not see the Lord so clearly. But these arrangements are designed by the Lord, far different from the garden variety personalities in the land of Mahamaya, that these personalities are actually being used by the Supreme Lord to actually enhance their own love for him, his love for them, but also yad yad acharati shreshtash. They are teaching by example. So I was thinking of going over a few famous pastimes in the Bhagavatam, and tie that into how these apply to us, of how by understanding the process of devotional service, we can actually come to a transcendental platform. Now, if looking at in the Bhagavatam, there's a pastime of Narada Muni, where he is actually become so absorbed in his particular strengths that he makes a certain mistake. And you know the pastime of where the Lord Indra, due to envy, sent the apsaras to actually entice him, and he conquered over Cupid and the agents of Cupid. And in this way, there was some pramad, some pride that developed. And he went to Lord Shiva and described, he first went to the heavenly planets, described, just see my prowess. I was able to conquer the agents of Cupid, the demigods are worshiping him. And in this way, he was taking some type of worship that was there. And then he went to Lord Shiva, told the pastime, and Lord Shiva said, don't go to Vishnu and say this. But Narada, being covered over by the Lord, he went to the Lord himself and said, just see the power. And in this way, Lord Vishnu had to make a certain arrangement for the benefit of his devotee. Because Narada had become unnecessarily proud that, I have conquered over the agents of Cupid. Kok balu brahmachari. Pakka. And in this way, there's some pride that developed. So then, by the inspiration of the Lord, Narada went to this one kingdom where this very beautiful princess, and her name was Shilanadi. And she was, it was like a choice marriage. And when he saw the beauty of this queen, he was thinking, anyone who marries this girl will actually be able to conquer all directions. And this is actually described in the Ayodhya Kanda. It is actually in verse Doha 16. And he was thinking, I must have this princess. So then he went to Lord Vishnu. He went to Lord Vishnu and said, well, my Lord, I want to beg a favor from you. I'm performing so many tapasyas for you, causing different, enhancing your leaders in various ways. I want to marry this princess. So my Lord, give me your beauty. And the Lord said, okay, I will do what's best for you. And Narada's thinking, the Lord's going to give me his beauty. Very nice, very nice. So he went to the Swayamvara ceremony. It returned very quickly. And there he is all ready. Now, there's two servants of Lord Shiva were completely in tune to this whole affair. So they went in to the area, and all the suitors were sitting, all dressed nicely, all the kings coming, dressed very nicely. Then Narada came and sat himself down. And everyone could see, it was just a normal Narada. They didn't see any difference in Narada. So in this way, Narada's feeling very good. I've got the beauty of Vishnu. I'm going to win this girl. Just a while ago, he'd conquered the agents of Cupid. Now, he's just on the opposite side. So in this way, what happened is that these two agents of Lord Shiva understood. They could see the real scenario, what happened, that Narada was wanting. And Narada was all very, very, studying in different ways and very ways in which to attract the girl when she'd come through and give him the garland. You see, what Lord Vishnu had done is something very unique. He did not give him his own beauty, but he gave him a very form of an ugly monkey head. Banda, And Narada was thinking, he's very proud. I've got the beauty, Vishnu's beauty. Very nice. So then the queen came beyond to Narada and looked, how insulting, and just walked on. Didn't even look back. And Narada's kind of sitting there, trying to maneuver his position. Vishnu, it's the beauty of Vishnu. And this way, but the agents of Lord Shiva were laughing at him. Narada. And then Narada, didn't understand their quizzical conversation because they were saying, yes, only he can capture the garland from this queen, the princess. So then they told him, go look in the water. And then he saw a monkey head. And at that time, he became so angry. And he said to those two residents, I curse you to take birth as demons in your next life. So Narada was very angry. Why has Krishna done to this to me? Hopefully this does not happen for any of our Sankirtan devotees. Why me? Oh. So Narada, he went to Lord Vishnu, and he began to blaspheme the Lord, that you are so cruel, so many persons, they worship you, and you unfairly reciprocate with them. And you stole Rama, referring to the wife of Ram. You stole Rama. You stole her. In this way. So this, what happens is that he began to blaspheme the Lord. And then he said, because you have played this joke with me, I curse you. Narada cursed Lord Vishnu. I curse you that you will be separated from your wife and you will have monkey associates help you in your future lila. And then Lord Vishnu revealed, he changed his dealings with the yoga maya. And Narada snapped out of it. Vish, my Lord, oh please don't let this offense take place. Please, my Lord, please forgive me. Don't, I didn't mean it. And the Lord said, this was my arrangement. So this is an example of a very highly elevated devotee. Because as you know, then Lord Ramachandra, Lord Vishnu manifested as Lord Ramachandra, and he came and with so many monkey soldiers reclaimed Sita from the hands of Ravana. That even in the most exalted devotees, this sense of pramad can be there, or a sense of mada. Even some pride can develop. It doesn't matter how high you are. In the Bhagavatam, there's one nice shloka where Dhruva Maharaj is also corrected in this way. Nav eka vachta paradena prasad bhavato hata bratur varda biptaptena tyaga bhatvita vatsala. Kuvera is coming because, as you know, Dhruva, his son, his brother, have been killed by the Yakshas. So he became very, very angry with in mystic power. He's fighting them. So Kuvera saw there's too many yakshas being murdered because he, Dhruva, empowered servant of the Supreme, but he was misusing his energies, he was misusing his opulence. So Lord Kuvera said, my dear son, it is shown that you are very much affected by your attachment to your brother who has been killed by one yaksha, but you have unnecessarily killed many yakshas. These persons are innocent. So in this way, he instructed Dhruva, you should desist. Dhruva had lost, he had lost his orientation. He lost his positioning. So in this way, it doesn't matter who we may be. We may have been a devotee for so many years, and we're in a particular ashram, and we following the rules and regulations for so many years, but then we become forgetful of this position. Just like in the early days, it's almost like you look everyone, oh, everyone's a pure devotee. Everyone's a pure devotee around you. And those are the days when there's, you know, the training wheels are on, because Krishna gives an intelligence, didam, ibuddhi, yogam, tam, an intelligence of just how to see in an honorific way. But then after some time, is maya sukaya param uvido vimudha, we become covered over, and then we become a bit foolish. We become wooden-headed. We become mechanical. I've been chanting so many rounds. I've been following so many rules and regulations. I have a guru now. And then we develop some sort of pride. And in this way, these individual problems can develop in a collective sense. Some pride can develop. And then some difficulty can follow. It doesn't matter what level we're on. when Hanuman, he went to the Ashoka Grove to also to give Sita some reassurance, and he showed the Lord Ramachandra's ring, and she had a doubt in her mind that ultimately, that how is it that Lord Ram has surrounded himself with so many rat-like monkeys? So he looked at Hanuman, small size. She had some doubt. How is it possible that Hanuman expanded himself to give her faith? But what Hanuman did, he began to brag a bit of his strength. I can crush Lanka like a gulab fruit. You jump on my shoulder and I'll take you back to Ram immediately. But Lord Sita, the personification of chastity, Sati, she simply said, I have not received the order of Lord Ram to do this. Even I could have burned Ravana to pieces, to ashes, but I did not have the order of Lord Ram. So in this way, she took that humble position of always being in tune with the Lord. But Hanuman became a little bit proud. And as a result of his pride expressed on other occasions in terms of his strength, even the pastime, he's carrying a mountain, and then Bharat, was simply a straw arrow, knocked him from the sky down to the ground. This is the Hanuman who could expand many yojanas and defeat unlimited demons. So the point being is here, Punar Mushika Bhav. Again, anyone can become a mouse. I remember when I was, I told this past time before, and I was distributing books in LA, and I was taking photographs of the deities. And I just wasn't taking photos of the deities on a particular day. And the pujari, one Mataji, was just crying so much because Maharaj never takes pictures of the deities when I dress the deities. And for that entire week, I could not distribute one. It was like I was in LAX, terminal number one. I could not stop anybody, not even the military personnel, which are the best because of some discipline. All my sadhana, everything was first class. But what I had, their mercy was taken away. So in this way, I found one day I took the pictures and then she was happy and all of a sudden, unknowingly, I'd committed a Vaishnav aparad. Unknowingly. What to speak if we knowingly step on one another? Every person you see around you, within your service, within this class, within your how you came to Krishna consciousness, is a perfect design. Those persons have been sent. And Prabhupada himself said, always, you never know who may be around you. It could be Narada Muni. Point being is, anyone who's engaged in a devotional process, samahatma sudralabha. So we have to be very conscientious who we're dealing with. So in Hanuman, when he was in the Ashoka Grove, then it's a whole pastime where he began to destroy the Ashoka Grove to show his might. And then he allowed himself to be captured by the different messengers of Ravana and brought to his court. And Ravana's looking at him. How dare you ruin my garden, my Ashoka garden? Don't you know my power? Are you challenging me? Whose power do you have? So it's a very similar verse when Prahlad Maharaj, and that is in the 7th canto, 8th chapter, text 7, where Prahlad, he makes a very nice point that Nakevalam Bhavatasta Rajan, that my dear king, he didn't say dad, didn't say father, my dear king, the source of my strength is a source of yours. Now can you imagine telling this to the biggest demon in the universe? What? Ishvara Hambogi, Siranam Balavansuki, kill them all. That person's my enemy. Let my servants sort them out. That's the mentality. So to hear this from his son was such an insult. But Prahlad answered exactly, the power you have, the same source is the power that I have. That is why it's very important. A devotee never looks at the power within. If you distribute books, or if you're a manager, or if you're a pujari, if you're actually a congregational communicator of Krishna consciousness, you're a kirtanir, 24-hour kirtan, you never think of your abilities or the power within. Because the abilities are in all living entities, whether it's the animals, human beings, the oceans, the mountains. It's the same energy. It's the same power source. So day before yesterday, in Srila Prabhupada's disappearance, I was reflecting on the different offerings made from the different devotees. And one devotee, I think Parvati, she mentioned that actually many of you say, I've got the mercy of Radharani, that's why I'm Vrindavan. But she was saying, I'm only here by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. So by the mercy of a spiritual master, everything becomes very, very clear. But I was thinking about different devotees in service of Srila Prabhupada, or we can see in terms of different devotees in our relationship with our guru. You get an instruction from the acharya, and you use your mind and you use your body and words to follow those instructions. But the point being is that I was getting kind of inspired to see not so much the one instructions each one of these devotees in glorification of Prabhupada was following, but it was the collective to actually see how Prabhupada has manifested in different personalities like that. In one sense, this is our philosophy, to see that all servants of the Lord are different forms of God, small g. Otherwise, I won't be able to give any more classes here. Parts and parcels of the Supreme, parts and parcels of Supreme servitorship. So when we see the Guru in relationship through his many dependents, then we are worshiping Guru. And it always comes to mind, there's two types of worship. It can be a inclusive worship or seclusive worship. In other words, performing one's bhajan individually, own form of sadhana like this, performing one's own tapasya. But Mahaprabhu's mission is an inclusive mission. Inclusive referring to samkirtan. Sam means together and kirtan means to glorify. Sometimes we become attached to the external aspects of Vaidhi, rules and regulations, to the point of just the rules and regulations. The rules and regulations are to purify the consciousness, to bring one to a higher platform of devotional service. There is a relation. But when we emphasize rules and regulations in just the numbers, how many rounds, I can be chanting 1 lakh, 64 rounds, 32, 16. We focus, if I'm doing this number, I'm safe. There's an example in Varshana of many sadhus who would chant 3 lakhs every single day. And they would live, this is maybe 50 years ago, and they would live in different huts. And I've even seen, and if you go to different oriental countries, the Buddhist monks would have these huts where the stairs would be separated from the hut itself, so no insects can come in, so they can be in their bhajan. And so in this way, these sadhus would chant 3 lakhs a day. And because in an imitation sense of someone like Haridas Thakur, the Namacharya, they would have to take various medicines because to move the mouse, you know, chanting would be exhausting. So they would chant from 2 o'clock in the morning, they would chant from 7 o'clock at night. Now don't get me wrong, chanting a nam, unlimited nam, this is wonderful. But there was one problem. They would never talk to each other, and their huts are right next to each other. I mean, there's plenty of time. You have to take prasadam. you have to take, you know, you have to take care of needs of the body. They would never converse with each other. Excuse me. In Golok Dham, Supreme Lord is surrounded by unlimited servitors. And his, Krishna is Rasa Vaisaha. He's a reservoir of Ras. So if in our approach we cannot interact with each other because who we are like insurance policies of spiritual progression. That is why we can get into difficulty when we become seclusive in our worship, not inclusive. And this is why we see Srila Prabhupada's genius in his program through the various fields of preaching. The book distribution, placing yourself in the conscious, in the shoes of another person, how to present the book, to present temples as bases to for the distributors to go out from, and to find, to facilitate various arenas of service to accommodate devotees of different degrees of sensitivity and different abilities, different samskaras. So Prabhupada's genius was to surrender one's consciousness in seva, a physical field, and then there's that enlightenment. This verse is speaking about how the Krishna Suyasam Mahant Andakar, where actually there's a light of Krishna, darkness cannot enter. So we want to be conscientious of how to always be mindful of where the strength is that's coming our way, not to misuse it, not to again become a mouse. Lord Ramachandra asked Hanuman when he came, met him after he returned from his mission to Lanka, and he burned Lanka like that. He asked Hanuman, how was it that by the presence of Ravana, you were able to burn Lanka? Now Hanuman, he had in this exchange with the Lord, there was no arrogance. He said, everything is by your mercy. I am simply your humble servitor. Just like Lord Sita, she had full vision. I'm not doing anything independent of Lord Ram. So in this way, there was a complete sense of empowerment, complete sense of connection with the Lord, a complete sense of use of his abilities and not misuse. If we look in the with the four Kumaras, how they cursed Jai and Vijay. Now, of course, the prelude to that is that Jai and Vijay were, of course, the attendants of Vaikuntha. They were the guardians. And one day, they obstructed Lakshmi herself from entering the room of Lord Vishnu. So then, this was strike one. Then the four Kumaras, who are actually considered one of the 24 incarnations of the Supreme, who are actually naked, 5 years of age, and they're fully conversant with all the pastimes and all the esoteric, mystic aspects of each incarnation, and with a stick, they obstructed them from entering into Vaikuntha. Again, the four Kumaras. Such exalted position. Jai and Vijay. The residents, the doorkeepers. Again, Yogamaya. How the Lord wanted to facilitate his pastimes and activities. But still, even with the most exalted devotees, that they came under the influence of a forgetful nature with the Supreme Lord. And then the most famous pastime when we look at the gopis of Braj and the Rasalila, how to be so qualified to enter into that relation with the Supreme is the perfection of existence for any personality. But even within that, Krishna detected some mada. There was some intoxication. There was some pramada. There was some pride. that Krishna belongs to me. And Krishna, he disappeared. And then there was one gopi left. And then even with her, Krishna disappeared. Of course, this is there, as I said earlier, to enhance the relation between these exalted parties, but also for us to learn from. It doesn't matter who you are, what stage of devotional service you may be in, anyone can become under the influence of forgetful nature. But for those of us who are still in the field of Maha Maya, as we are progressing slowly into more intimate and more honorific relations with the Lord, we have to be ever so careful. The power of Srila Prabhupada's mission is if we just simply follow the process. Because Swami may hear, oh, Maharaj, if I have attachment just to a Glubjaman, you know, that's going to block my, you know, not block my entrance. What hope is there for me? But Krishna comes in the form of guru who gives you rules and instructions of how to progressively move forward. And if you serve the guru in relationship to the others, then slowly, slowly, slowly. And I'll never forget that class in Mayapur where Jananivas said, for the pujaris, because you have to get training. You have to get proper training before one can get a anti-material body, a spiritual form. So anyway, Jananivas said, because he's a pujari, very wonderful devotee, and he goes, for the pujaris, they go directly back home to Godhead. Because guess who's training you? That's why I like to ask the different pujaris, you know, Swapta, you know, nice Takuji coming, dream state like this. Well, Prabhupada said, for the distributors, you distribute your books your whole life, someday that hand that'll reach out can be blue. So in this way, we never can underestimate the power of the devotional process. And we can never take it for granted that actually our position is so fortunate. So make insurance policies of how to make spiritual advancement. And in this way, you'll make many friends. And you'll honor your position as you serve the guru. The problem is we become attached to various conceptions. Many devotees come into international society, many mixed samskaras, and many different degrees of pramada that's there, mada that's there, many degrees of intoxication. And then what happens is we take shelter of a senior in Krishna consciousness. Now, anyone knows guru takes the karma of the disciple. And it's a repeated history how those who have had good intentions, they become a little overburdened by that responsibility. And they can have a change of service. But what happens in our society is that we blame the persons on top. Oh, look at so-and-so. I knew it. But we don't understand. It's okay to make mistakes. It's not okay to make the same mistakes over and over again. The test is in how we respond to the situation. Are you part of the problem? Honestly? Have you learned the principles of devotional service? Prabhupada has given everything there, but are we placing those principles in our heart? Because if we are placing the Krishna consciousness process in our heart, then we're in a position to see everyone around us as insurance policies of spiritual progression. Every person around us is a test. Do I have what am I qualified to make the next step, to progress the next step? There's a very true story about this danger of mad. intoxication. And it's a true story about two opium addicts. Now, in India today, opium is not legal. At least it's been minimized. So there's two opium addicts lying down on the ground. And one opium addict is going, "Oh, I see the clouds are very far away." And the other opium addict is going, no. "The clouds are very close. They're very close. And we will experience the clouds by rain." This is full intoxication. So one of the addicts, "Okay, I believe we will know the presence of the clouds by rain." And one of the addicts, he pointed out and he fell on the other addict. Now, opium has a chemical effect in the body. You cannot hold one's urine. So then one addict began to pass his water on the other. "Ah! Yellow rain. Warm rain. You're right. Nice warm rain." So we can laugh at this. But can we also laugh at that when, we're reading Ishvaram Ambogi, Siddhanam Balavansuki, Ravana thinking, "I'm a powerful, kill that person. Who is it, who my power belongs here?" But no, I've been a brahmacharya for so many years. I've been this, I've been that. I've been a sannyasi. I have this, I have that. I put the tilak on like this. I'm in charge of this department, that department. So many years, I've got it together. But what happens is, within your seclusive bhajan, if you're in your own department and you don't see others in relationship to the mission, you begin to make discrimination. You begin to make offenses in this way. Krishna remembers the activities, the good activities anyone does 100 times more than the bad. So when there's difficulties in our society, individually or collectively, be careful. Be careful of how you observe, because this whole verse is speaking about how Krishna illuminates our heart, how he has a form, how he has an effulgence. But how to understand how Krishna consciousness is a process of illumination, many times give the example of the sun rising. As the sun rises, the shadows disappear. Krishna Suryasam, Mahandat Andakar. The shadows will disappear, and then we can see things very clearly. So as we serve within one another, we act in such a way to see those good qualities and not to undermine each other. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes that anyone engages in politics, that undermines the process of bhakti, undermines the process of devotion. So yes, Hanuman and the spider are given equal appreciation by Lord Ram. The Hanuman has the ability to push grains of sand, and the spider is pushing the grains of sand, Hanuman throwing the boulders. But the Lord sees that in an equal sense. And we will be tested. Because if we become attached to a position, if we become attached towards the external aspects of devotional activity, we won't be able to surpass the obstacles. Now, in the first canto, chapter 8, text 26, Janmasvasya Shruta Shribir, Ekadan Mana Pumam, Nevart Abhi Patatam Nai, Twam Akinchana Gocharam, Akinchana Gocharam. Then, my Lord, your lordship can be easily approached, but not only by those who are exhausted. They're exhausted materially. One who is on the path of material progress, trying to improve himself with respected parentage, great high education cannot approach you with sincere feeling. So if we become attached to our birth, I can be Brahmin, Brahmin birth, attached to the external aspect of bloodline, Prabhupada, he wonderfully showed that actually the qualification of a devotee, the true qualification, is one relationship and service, nothing to do with the bloodline. But if we become attached to that external aspect, then we lose. It's like anyone who has been a mother and has a child and watches the child. I don't know the Vedic term for when a child lies on its back and turns over for the first time. It's so charming for the mother to see. Or when the child can get up, stumble on all fours, and then walk. It's so charming for the mother. And the mother will do everything in her power to help the child. So similarly, the Lord, as we are all children, we are all students forever, as we slowly progress in our spiritual culture, the Supreme Mother, Supreme Father is so wonderfully caring and conscious of their devotees and providing so much nourishment. That's why if we simply follow the rules and regulations of Krishna consciousness with a mood to not offend, then one will actually understand the Lord, his name, form, pastimes. Even the process can take a matter of moments. It's a matter of consciousness. So that's why be careful about the external aspects, about the numbers, about the amount of books distributed, because if it's done in the proper consciousness, then we will see, Prabhupada said, 18 days. By the mercy of the Supreme Lord, even a small snake can devour Garuda. This is the Shakti, Krishna Shakti, Vininahi, Tarpavartana. This is the special Shakti that the Lord imparts upon his devotee, and we see it throughout the pastimes of the great devotees of the Lord. We see it in unlimited pastimes of those devotees in the Sankirtan movement. But continue on within your particular service. But you will be tested. You will be tested in all situations. There's a name of the Lord which signifies the way he can test, or what's the word, scrutinize the devotee. It's called pranapal, where the Lord will examine his devotee. One nice example is with Bibhishan, who is the brother of Ravana. He had surrendered himself to Lord Ram, and even his son was a devotee of Lord Ram. And his son actually placed the names of Lord Rama on his chariot, all over his chariot, and went into the battlefield. And Rama, he saw, and he said, there's something attracting him so much to this one fighter. And he asked Bibhishan, who is this? And he goes, this is my son. And then the Lord, Bibhishan said, kill him. He's a Mayavadi. This is all a show. But actually his son was a devotee. You see, the Supreme Lord was testing, because ultimately if one is killed by the Supreme, the full benefit is there. But Lord Ram was testing even how Vivishan, what is the final attachment. So then Ram asked Vibhishan the crucial question of his attachment, Ravana. I have cut off his heads with 10 arrows. I've cut off his arm with 20 arrows. But they come back. The heads come back. The arms come back. What to do? How can he be conquered? And then Vibhishan described how within the navel of Ravana, there is an immortal elixir that is there. And as soon as any part of the body is missing, it'll grow it again. If you take that part out, and then you've conquered Ravana. But then Lord Ram took 32 arrows to the navel, 20 to the arms, and 10 for the heads, and then Ravana was conquered. But Vibhishan was acknowledging, you are simply testing me, my Lord. Am I attached to something external? Am I attached to position? Am I attached to power? Am I attached to my possessions? We will all be tested in this regard. And we use everything. Akinchana gocharam. We have to be thoroughly, materially exhausted. Then you will see your wheels, your progression in Krishna consciousness increase. Your inspiration will increase. And then you will not become bewildered by any situation, any difficulty that comes in Krishna consciousness, whether it's individual and collective, because Krishna has given the process of devotional activity that will awaken, will illumine our heart. And by the process of distribution, the heart becomes more illumined. And as we want to glorify the Lord, and then the Lord will want to glorify his devotee. And we see this example of Srila Prabhupada 2 days ago. Srila Prabhupada used his mind, body, and words to glorify Krishna. And Krishna provided so many arrangements to glorify Srila Prabhupada. And you can see that by so many wonderful dependents and service. And now it's not first generation, it's second generation, third generation. We see a wonderful descent of the Lord through his different devotees. Srila Prabhupada himself, the demigods are waiting to take birth. Because this is the Mahayagna that we can, in a short period, because of the proper Sangha, we can go back, instead of these long lifespans, we can go back within a matter of years. 80 years is nothing for the human form. But we have to give up our ladus of material sense gratification, our ladus of attachment to position, name, fame, money. We use all these activities, unlimited amounts of wealth. There's one yogi, picture of one yogi, who Srila Prabhupada had actually, it was a picture of the yogi pushing money away, right? And then Prabhupada said, no, you give me, like this. Because he knew how to use money in the right way. So in this way, we have to give up our ladus of material attachment. If we are freed from false ego, ahankara vimudatma kartam iti manyate, we become bewildered by the false ego. If we act without the presence of the false ego, don't think aham brahmasmi, I am spirit. That means power. That means position. But aham brahmasmi, ne dasosmi, I am servant. Then, when the objects of sense attraction come before you, the ladus of material enjoyment, the ladus of sensual or sexual attraction come before you, one will not have appetite for that because there is no ego there. And in this way, we will see our position, my property, my home, my family, my daughters, my sons, my disciples, as not our property. We have these personalities have come before us as to facilitate devotional service. And Prabhupada himself said, I've seen all of you. I know all my spiritual masters sent all of you before me. You are my real sons and daughters. So in that mood, we will become completely free. And then Krishna will illuminate our life and he'll empower us to illuminate the lives of others. All we have to do is to learn this process, distribute this process, and not make offense. And then, yes, Krishna Suyasam, Mana Andhakar, that Krishna will actually reveal to you the process of Krishna consciousness, to how to present the process, and you will be promoted in a future situation. That is the guarantee. So let us fully take advantage of this great fortune that's come our way. So I'll stop there. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Oops, over. Yes? Microphone? No microphone. You come up and I can repeat the question. Oh, Michael, I'm sorry.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Prabhu, you told about attachments. My question is that many people say that father and mother are above God, but Prabhupada has told that no, that, and in fact Jesus says that if you love father or mother more than me, you are not worthy of me. So if somebody wants to progress in spiritual life, how affection of mother and father is in hindrance in that, Prabhu?
We should always honor the mother and the father, because they have, if you've come to Krishna consciousness, they provide some facility. Now, if they're attached towards putting you in a cage away from loving service to the Lord, then you have to act as a credit. From my experience, my parents wanted to restrict me. I was kidnapped on two occasions because of that. They loved me very much, but they thought I was my body. Even nowadays, I see them, I just go as a loving son because I can't. In the early days, I made the mistakes. I became a little fanatical. You know. So in this way, I said the word inclusive. It is inclusive. They are very dear to, if you become, they are dear to Krishna, but they become more dear if you become a credit to them. And even though I'm physically not with my parents, that I was, I shouldn't say this, but I was their favorite, okay? I'm not even there, but their whole life has changed, and they add more spiritual culture into their life because they're getting some kind of credit. So the point being is that how to honor the father and mother is in relation. How to honor the devotee in right next to you is in relation. It's all a matter of encouraging a relation with the Lord. Then it goes beyond just your father and mother. It goes within your collective. It goes within the sampradayas. To look at other sampradayas in a negative light. Or having mahants who are proud of their buildings and just canvassing for disciples for just money. This is a misuse of spirituality. But where we use these same agents to promote the preaching, that's a whole different ballpark. So don't glorify. Prabhupada was referring to material attachment. Honor the father and mother by becoming a good devotee, and they will become devotees. That is a fact. Hare Krishna. Yes? The sadhu who? Well, it's interesting enough. Some of those sadhus, they left Braj. Some sadhus left. But the point being is that this is, if in all our sadhana, we may chant lakhs of rounds, attend unlimited festivals, and take unlimited amounts of prasadam, but if you perform aparadha to devotees, in other words, Prabhupada said, so many zeros, you put the one before the zeros, Krishna. We can't approach Krishna directly. We are approaching Krishna through his parts and parcels. But one thing is for sure, if you don't understand the relationship that we're meant to be together, we're meant to serve, then you can take millions of bursts and chant millions of laksa names. In New Zealand, they once had a parrot which chanted Hare Krishna. But if you grab the neck of the parrot, quack! So the point being is that these rules and regulations are important if there's a bhav, if there's an increasing relation. But some of those sadhus left Braj after some time. Yes, well then. Sure. Seva is always there. He's asking if you can chant rounds for the benefit of others. Yes, that can. If a Vaishnava or Vaishnavi thinks positively, if a Vaishnava smiles at another, then they're benefited. And Prabhupada is an example of that. He could purify others by his smile. So we're starting from the small, just, you know. But the point being is that Vaishnava, just by his presence, can change the heart, just by seeing a true Vaishnava. So this selfless service is good. And then they may be chanting rounds for you someday. So it's nice. We're one happy family together. Hare Krishna. Yes. The question is the pride is so subtle, how can we catch it? Is it something that we can have knowingly? Or how can we actually understand we're becoming full of pride? Well, sadhu sangha, sarvashastra koi, lavamantra sadhu sangha, sarvasiddhi hoy. Just by 11th of, just by a sadhu sangha. This is very, I remember Radha Swami making this one point. It's very sad when someone leaves the process. There's no more sadhu sangha. There's no relation. There's no barometer of how. I'm weak. I'm difficulty. So how can I get strong? Prabhupada example. Many sticks together, you cannot break. So point being, we need to stay together. We need to associate with each other. And in this way, be an inclusive worship. Then we'll become very, very strong. Very, very. And then we will be able to do unlimited feats of seva. But we need each other. Because Krishna's Leela is in Mahaprabhu's Leela. The Hari Nam Sankirtan. Unlimited devotees coming together. Is there one cartel? One Radanga? One devotee? No. And this is the amazing mercy of the Lord, Mahaprabhu's mission, giving us full access to these other arenas. Just by the Hari Nam Sankirtan. And then, okay, you may see bad qualities in others, but you don't act upon those. You see the good qualities. Because I said earlier, 100 times the Lord remembers our good deeds that we do. And in this way, we can learn from Narada. We can learn from the gopis. We can learn from how Dhruva became proud. We can learn from the mistakes of Jayan Vijay, four Kumaras, that we are not beyond these particular realities. So let us learn by hearing. Prabhupada emphasized, learn by hearing. But together we'll be strong. And even if you do have a weakness, it'll go in time because you've learned how to approach Krishna. You've learned how to approach me through my devotees. This is how we glorify the Guru, through the devotees. Hare Krishna. I'm sorry for keeping you. Yeah, sorry. One last question, because I'm sorry. Thank you. Prabhupada, the question is that Prabhupada used to say, I kicked Mayavadis with my feet. I kicked them. Maya. Oh, I can't hear because of the no mic. I kicked Maya with my feet. Yes, he said it was in that one foreign community that he sat under one tree. And I'm, you know, you're fine. I'm teaching you how to be in the lap of Maya. I thought you said Mayavadi. That, of course, he did that. No, but he also called people a rascal. He could, you know, he had that seniority. But it's amazing. We see a statement where Prabhupada says, I have kicked Maya by my feet. But you know what's more miraculous? Is how he's using each one of us to do something of that direction. University of One books is kicking Maya. You take sannyas, it is like you're rolling up your sleeves. But ultimately, this is the problem is, if we take on our service in a mood of ascension on my strength, we lose the focus. You see, the service of the Vaishnavas is descension. The grace comes from above. It comes from the Supreme Lord through the parampara and then comes to our insignificant self. Then, if you have that equation, you will never be defeated. You'll be victorious in all situations. Nothing belongs to you. Nothing. The four Kumaras showed this example. They didn't even have clothes, but they had everything. But beware of judging in terms of externals. So, just like for weightlifters, they have to use weights. When you see a negative quality in another, use your same mind to see the good. And Krishna will, there are ways to correct in the proper way. Hare Krishna, forgive me for keeping you over time. Grantaraj Srimad Bhartam Ki Jai.